Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. We are going to give a quick shout out to Bowie, Maryland.
Hey, Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bowie.
Another cool looking place to go.
Yes, sir.
They've got all kind of, oh, they've got some roller coasters. I can skip that.
Yeah, I used to like roller coasters.
I am not too much of a fan.
No, you know, I really never did. I just went on them when I was in college. I didn't want to look like a sissy, but in reality, I was scared to death. I had to check my pants when I got off.
Well, I did not want to, but we were on a senior trip and everybody had to stay together and they dragged me on it. Didn't like the experience.
I went on the longest, I think it was the fastest roller coaster at one time.
Oh, no.
The Beast.
Okay.
Even the name there, that's theological that, yeah.
Yeah, right?
But it was called The Beast, King's Island.
Okay.
But yeah, that is interesting. I wasn't a Christian then. I wouldn't have caught it. I thought it was,
You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org. Check out our Etsy store, shadowsofgrace.etsy.com. And if you are looking for a therapist, check Dr. J out. He does pastoral
counseling
and clinical counseling in Alabama, Virginia,
and
North
looking
Carolina.
To get in Kentucky, Tennessee, and South Carolina in the near future. Yeah.
Yes. And our dog is trying to eat lasagna off the table.
Well, if he wants it that bad, he can go ahead. If
all
you guys
right.
hear plates fall,
we'll just
that's our dog.
That's our dog. Okay. Well, I'm sure you've got some lovely dad jokes.
Yeah, I got some good dad jokes.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
Why are piggy banks so wise?
Why are piggy banks so wise? No clue.
They're filled with common sense. Okay.
Okay.
You didn't like that. I got a better
one. I had to stop and think about that. Well,
I got another one.
Okay,
why is Peter Pan always flying?
I don't know.
He never lands. La 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 bamba.
Okay. Why are you singing La Bamba?
Well, we watched.
Yeah, we watched the movie Richie Valens,
La Bamba from 1987 off Tubi. What was it?
Yeah, Tubi is a free. Yeah.
You know, that was very sad. He really was gifted.
And he knew he was going to die.
He had a dream as a kid.
Visions,
a plane crash.
Right. Sad.
That is very sad.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I've got some day in history. This day in history, March 18th, 2024, when we are recording this.
Okay.
Let's see. In 1766, after months of American protest, Britain repealed the Stamp Act.
Sweet.
Yes. All right. In 1965, Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah, made the first spacewalk.
Sweet.
In 2004, a small asteroid made the closest approach to Earth ever recorded, only about 26,500 miles away.
That's not too far.
Not too far at all.
Yeah.
So, some cool, interesting facts about this day in history.
All right. That was very good.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Cy must not have found any lasagna because he
did. Nope. He's back over here listening to us.
Yeah. Well, today I want to talk to people about why I believe Scripture is very clear in a pre-trib rapture of the church.
Okay.
You know, we talked about several weeks ago, the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Right.
And she predicted the exact time that Jesus would come and die on a cross, or come in on a mule, on a donkey, in Jerusalem and die on a cross for us, the exact date.
Yes.
There's 1 week left, which is 7 years left.
Okay.
And the church is kind of, we're kind of a mystery. We were in God's mind, but we were kind of not looked at or even perceived by the Jewish people as as something that would happen.
Right.
Or take
to be
place.
Reckoned with.
So I believe Scripture's clear. I mean, there's kind of a controversy in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture's very clear that Daniel chapter 12 speaks about how in the end times, people go to and fro and knowledge will be increased. And I think that does mean an increase in technology and what have you, like we have right at the tips of our fingers, literally. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's talking about more people are going to be more interested
right.
in end times, mm-hmm. prophecy.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back in the early church era, the early church fathers, and they were just trying to figure out the gospel.
True. True.
But today, people are more focused, I think, well, they are focused on the gospel, but also Jesus's return.
Right, right.
So the pre-trib rapture holds, and I believe it's scriptural, that Jesus will meet his people, his bride, in the air.
Yes.
That we do suffer. People try to say, you just don't want to suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, people suffer. If you look at places in Africa,
right.
in the Middle East, mm-hmm. parts of Asia,
yeah.
even parts of Europe, South right. America, mm-hmm. Those people are suffering.
Correct.
So it doesn't mean we won't suffer or go through tribulation. It means we won't go through the wrath of God on earth.
Right.
So the first thing is the imminence of Christ's return.
Yes.
The first reason I believe it's biblical is because Jesus talked about that he could come at any time. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 says, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
Yes.
Now, can you predict? You know, people, you can't really predict when a thief's going to come.
Well, no, you cannot. No.
They come when you least expect it.
Right. And especially nowadays, they come all times, day, night, everything.
I was about 10 years old and my grandma passed in Texas.
Right.
And they had her funeral and my grandpa went and whatnot. And they came home and the house was ransacked. They look in the newspaper.
People used to do that. When my mom passed away, we had a friend that came and sat in our house because she had heard such. Yeah. Yep.
So the second coming, which is Jesus coming back with his church, so that tells us the church has to be with Jesus.
Right.
And we are not going to be designated for wrath because we are the blessed hope.
Right.
That the imminency of Christ, that he could come anytime, means that there's a pre-trib rapture.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the second reason I believe in a pre-trib rapture is the church and Israel have distinct roles. You know what distinct means?
Like important.
They have important separate roles to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Some people see Jesus chastise the Jews
right.
for thinking they were the only ones going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly he went to the Gentiles, for God so loved the world.
Right.
You know, Nicodemus, I'm going to the world.
Yes.
Through the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because Israel did not do it. They did not obey God. They were supposed to tell the whole world.
Yes.
So you read Romans chapter 11. 25 through 27.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Romans 11, 25 through 27.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way, all Israel will be saved.
So, very clear. And if you read the other part of the chapter, you don't have to, but it talks about the church being grafted in.
Right.
So there's a specific plan for the church, the church age that we are in.
Right.
And there's also a plan. God's not finished with the Israel.
You're right.
And a lot of Christians, I have brothers in Christ that I love dearly, but they tend to think, well, Israel is the church. And if you look at scripture honestly and you look at it literally,
right,
you're not going to come to that conclusion.
No, definitely not.
So it says to the end of the Gentiles comes to an end. The last chosen saint of God
right.
for the church. I don't know who it's going to be, but bam, voila, woo.
Just
we're going to be in the air. That's
somebody.
It.
And we don't know. Maybe we will get to witness to the last person. Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like they accept Christ and then da-da-da-da.
Maybe when I'm in the Dominican Republic, right? Maybe so. That witness to that one person that will be the
right,
the last cool. one. Yeah. So there's going to come a time when the church or the Gentile, it's things are going to go back to the nation of Israel. We see right. that because the nation of Israel being a country today, mm-hmm. Jews are coming back from all over the world in fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes.
And so we are in the middle. We are on our way to a transition.
We are.
Just like the transition from the Jews to the Gentiles through mm-hmm. the church.
Right.
And Pentecost.
Yes.
We're getting ready to have another transition in the near future. I don't know when, but in the near future.
Right.
So the third reason is the church is absent in the tribulation. Okay. Mm.
That's true.
You're
right.
You read the first three chapters. Mm-hmm. I don't want you. I mean, that's a lot of reading.
That would be a lot of reading. Let's not do that.
But if you read the first three chapters, it's talking about the church. Mm-hmm. Jesus has the key. He's walking in the lamps, not in the lampstands, but around them.
Right, right.
To represent the church. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Jesus tells John, come up here. Go mm-hmm. ahead and read Revelation 4, verse 1.
Okay, Revelation 4, verse 1. All right. After I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.
Now, if this was the only verse there, you would say, well, he's just saying, come up here. Mm-hmm. But when you look at this, and then immediately in Revelation 4 and 5, mm-hmm. we see the church praising God.
Absolutely.
They're throwing their crowns in chapter 6.
Yes.
They're singing praise to the one that sits alone. That's us.
That is us.
Every nation, every tribe.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
I think it's amazing. I really do.
But after that, you had the Antichrist signing the agreement 7 years with Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's with Israel. You don't see the church till chapter 19.
And you know, that's pretty, a lot of people... You know, we're talking, we are definitely pre-tribs.
Pre-trib, pre-millennial.
Pre-tribs. Yep. And there are some that are not, but I don't know how do they become post-trib or mid-trib or whatever.
Well, it takes away imminency.
Right.
And Jesus promised imminency.
Yeah.
So that contradicts. Paul talked about it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They get it from some, because I'm a reformer, but I'm a progressive dispensationalist.
Oh, yes.
You know, kind of.
You're speaking big words
what,
now.
What that is I believe God is fully sovereign of
Absolutely.
All things.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that salvation is by grace through faith, nothing
right.
else.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe, now, early church, and that's why the Catholic Church took up the same spiritualizing Israel, spiritualizing
right.
or making it... just solely symbolic to
right.
where it was almost meaningless.
Yeah.
Or that it already happened.
Right.
But that's just not logical.
Right.
It doesn't fit scripture.
It does not.
And so when Martin Luther came through the Reformation, mm-hmm. he didn't really, I mean, it was the liberation of the gospel that and the freedom to read the Bible, the mm-hmm. just shall live by faith, although that's in the Bible, but he just kind of led that cause
right.
at that time.
Right.
But eschatology, which is end times,
yes,
was not really focused on. And a lot of evangelicals mm-hmm. took on some of the same beliefs
right.
as the Roman Catholic Church, which is amillennial.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But here's the thing. Revelation 17:14, if you read that.
Okay. Revelation 17:14. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers.
And the ones that are with him, that's us.
Right.
That's us.
That's us.
Go ahead and then down here we have Revelation 21 verse 9 through 10.
Okay. Getting it. All right. Okay. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God.
You know, the bride.
Yes.
Over and over, Jesus, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, mm-hmm. how even the Jewish wedding and the illustration Jesus used mm-hmm. about the bride and the bridegroom points to pre-trib, pre-millennial reign.
Yes.
The second coming and the rapture and the second coming of Christ.
Right.
And so we see here the bride of Christ.
The bride of Christ.
Yeah, we are the bride.
Yes.
The third is the promise of deliverance from wrath.
Okay.
1 Thessalonians 1:10 or 5:9. 5:9. Actually 1:10 and 5:9, but okay. That's okay.
All right. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
Yeah, just do that one for time's sake.
Hold on. I can do both real quick, but okay. My Bible app is being a
That's
little
okay.
weird. Okay. 1 Thessalonians.
Yep.
5:9.
Yep.
All right. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And what was the other one?
1 Thessalonians 1:10.
1:10. Okay. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Okay. The wrath of God.
Yes.
He's not talking about, he said, you will go through trials and tribulations and hard times.
Right.
But he's talking about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord it can be the seven-year tribulation itself.
Right.
And the coming of Jesus himself with his church to judge
right.
the earth. So what is appointed? He did not appoint us to suffer wrath.
Right.
It means we're not appointed to wrath.
Right.
The blessed hope that Jesus says for the church, he doesn't say this for everyone else, mm-hmm. is that we will, that the dead in Christ will rise. And then those that are alive will meet him in the air and forever be with the Lord. Comfort each other with these words.
Amen. Yes.
Now, if that wasn't something the church should be looking for, mm-hmm. he would have said, he wouldn't have said comfort each other. He would have said, go hide. The Antichrist is coming.
Right.
The church is not waiting for the Antichrist. We're not looking for the Antichrist. No. It's fun to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We can see the patterns in the world and whatnot.
Right.
But we're looking for Jesus Christ.
We are.
And we will see him, and we won't be under the wrath of God.
You're right.
Because we're not appointed to wrath.
You're right.
What's your thoughts about that?
I just think, it's very interesting. I also know that this, of course, is not salvific.
No.
But it is very, and some people get pretty nasty about it.
I'm not.
But
I have friends that are
right.
But it is important.
It's important to know.
Yes.
And it's important to study. And it's important to be able to back up why you feel the way you feel.
Yes.
Because some people say, well, I don't feel like the church is going to be here. And then somebody will say, well, why? And sometimes people don't have the answers. But now they will.
You will.
Absolutely.
You will.
Yes.
Also, the type of Noah and Lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Noah and his family were the only ones that they found grace in God's eye, and they literally were the ones that were righteous.
Right.
And he rescued them before he enacted his own wrath on earth.
Correct.
I think that's does that really point to the rapture? I think it does.
Right.
I think if it was the only illustration, maybe kind of stretching it.
Right.
But it's not.
No, it's not.
Because he rescued the only righteous on earth.
Correct.
And he protected the ark. The ark is kind of a type of Jesus being mm-hmm. in Christ, being in the ark, protected mm-hmm. from the wrath of God.
Definitely.
Also, Lot. Lot, and Lot is encouraging because he was kind of a carnal Christian in many ways.
Right.
Or carnal follower.
Yes, you're right.
But he still obviously was God's chosen by God.
Correct.
And God made sure to get Lot out of Dodge and his family out of Dodge, mm-hmm. because he was not going to judge him, his people, mm-hmm. by his own wrath.
You're right.
Because we're not appointed to wrath.
Correct.
Yeah. Same way the church will be removed during the tribulation.
Right.
They'll probably blame it on aliens.
They will, because, you know, there's been a lot of alien stuff in the news the last several years, especially even more now, and portals and things like that. So, yeah, they're gonna blame it on something like that.
You know, I had someone, you know, years ago that's like, aliens, yeah. But you know what? The government admits there's something out there that they exist. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can just look it up on YouTube.
Yes.
Find videos.
Of course, they're not really aliens on other planets. They're dimensional demons.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I'm talking about UFOs and things like that.
Well, those are dimensional too.
Yeah.
But you're talking about looking them up.
Right.
Yes.
Looking them up, because there have been some people that are very honorable up in the
Navy
government,
pilots,
things like that.
Navy pilots. Yep.
Have seen UFOs and they've told about it. Yeah.
And some politicians, but they're not honorable. So.
Right.
That I'm just kidding. Some of them
we
are.
We talked about how we need to pray for our government.
I am kidding.
Let me say,
I do pray for both parties.
I do too.
I really do pray for Biden.
I do. Yeah.
I am independent, but I probably lean more with my views from a biblical standpoint with more conservative.
Correct.
But I really do pray for Biden.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Well, we're supposed to. We're commanded to pray for our leaders.
Absolutely.
So we should.
So, but anyhow, I'm not
going to. Anyway, we're going kind of going off on the tangent. But
let's go ahead and the fifth one is the restrainer is removed. 2 mm-hmm. Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 through 7, if you could read that.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians.
The restrainer is removed.
What chapter?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 through 7.
My memory's not good tonight. Okay. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way.
Now he is talking about here the Antichrist. If you read the whole chapter, mm-hmm. read the whole book, and it will really open your eyes that people were thinking in the church of Thessalonica that Jesus had come back, and they missed it.
Right.
And basically he said, well, this person's not here yet.
Right.
Which really rebuttals a lot of the arguments mm-hmm. that we've already been through the tribulation. But anyhow.
Right. Yeah.
But he's saying that, you know, you guys weren't left behind.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is the restrainer will be removed. And the restrainer, I believe, is, well, you could say the Holy Spirit or the church. Mm-hmm. Think about it for a second. What is holding the world back from following the Antichrist and Satan, for that matter?
Right.
The church.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, the Holy Spirit will still be here, but he won't be indwelling like he is today within individuals.
Right.
Saints of God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense.
Basically, Paul's saying that he cannot even come on the scene. I do believe he's probably alive.
Right.
I believe that.
Yeah. I think he is too.
But he cannot rise into power and actually do what he wants to do.
Right.
Until the church is taken out.
Agreed.
And the sixth thing is the rapture and the second coming are distinct. Mm-hmm. We kind of already said that.
Right.
The rapture is the blessed hope.
Yes.
That is, we will be snatched. We will be forever with the Lord. He has a mansion, a room for his people. Mm-hmm. We have a celebration, which I'll get to in a second. The second coming, we come back with him in judgment. Mm-hmm. Two different things.
Right.
Yep. Matter of fact, Jesus meets the church in the air, and he comes back with the church at the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah.
Yes. Yeah.
The reward of the faithful. Mm-hmm. He promises in Revelation 3:10 that the promise of escaping the hour of trial. And I believe he is talking about not just trials in general, but the trial through the tribulation period,
right,
7 years. Mm-hmm. And the analogy of the Jewish wedding. I did one. We did this a while back. Mm-hmm. What was it, like about a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, it's interesting. Do you remember anything about the Jewish wedding?
Oh, it was really good. It was really good. I remember that.
Okay. I put you on the spot.
You did. You put me on the spot. I do remember that it mirrors the Jewish wedding. You talked about how it mirrors the church, mm-hmm, and it mirrors actually the second coming. I remember
that.
It does.
It does. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Sometimes I put you on the spot, don't I?
You do. Yep.
Because we don't rehearse the stuff.
We do not rehearse.
We really do a lot of this off the cuff.
If you hear something being thrown at Dr. J and he says, ouch.
Now, if I say call the police, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No,
just kidding.
I would never do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Never, never.
Well, I think of the arrangement.
Yeah.
Okay. The first stage of the Jewish wedding system is the arrangement. The father of the bridegroom, the father of the bride arranged the wedding themselves. Mm-hmm. A bride price was paid according to the traditions of the Jews.
Right.
In the case of the bride of Christ, the price was paid on the cross with the blood of his son, mm-hmm, the father's sin.
Right.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Correct.
And he a down payment, the dowry. Mm-hmm. You know what the dowry was?
What the family of the bride paid to the bridegroom.
No, what the bridegroom paid to the brides.
Oh, I got that backwards.
That's okay.
See, you're trying to catch me on the spot again. Yes, you are.
That was a down payment. And the Holy Spirit is the down payment. It's the seal.
Right.
The preparation period. And this would go on for a while. This was, mm-hmm, not like we do here in America.
Right, right.
The preparation period was the second stage. It pertained here, the period of betrothal. Uh-huh. And they were considered married as soon as the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed.
Right.
During this time, the bride prepared and trained to take the role of a wife. Mm-hmm. And her purity was observed. I don't know how they did all that.
Yeah.
But they did. So Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, mm-hmm, I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ."
Right.
And you see here that over and over again, mm-hmm, that we are a wife to Christ.
Yes.
And you hear adultery, spiritual adultery throughout the Old and the New Testament.
Right.
So through the word of God, the bride has set apart the future husband that he might sanctify it, the bride.
Right.
Through the washing of the water of the word of God.
Yes.
And those are the people that God's chosen, mm-hmm, the Father has chosen for the Son.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
And then, as she's preparing, he would go off to his father's house.
Yes.
And this could be a minimum a year.
Right.
Sometimes longer. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know exact time he was coming.
Right.
And he would go back and prepare a room for the bride.
Yes.
I mean, there was going to be a party, and then he was going to consummate the marriage. They were going to have relations.
Yes.
And the people would be around. I mean, it was kind of weird, but that's how they did it.
Yep.
And so, but listen, this is what Jesus says. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many rooms."
Yes.
"If it were not so, I would have not told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go to prepare a place for you, I come again, mm-hmm, and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Amen.
John 14, 2 through 3.
Yes.
Now, this is a promise to the church, and we would have to be raptured for this unless it was going to be a snack. And we're just going to go back and come back down. That wouldn't be a very long visit.
Yeah.
No. Or a dwelling place. Rather or a honeymoon with Christ.
Right.
So then you have the fetching or the getting the bride. The third stage of the Jewish wedding system is getting the bride, going, mm-hmm, getting her. Mm-hmm. So the groom would go to the house of the bride on wedding and fetch her.
Yes.
So God would announce with a shout, the trumpet of the angel, Christ would appear, mm-hmm, and we will meet him in the air.
Yes.
And when they would come with a lot of their family and friends, and they'd be blowing trumpets to get the bridegroom.
Yes.
At an unsuspecting time. And then there was the ceremony. This is the stage, the fourth stage. This takes place privately, and it's a wedding feast rather than the marriage ceremony per se.
Right.
Then they have the marriage ceremony, and then they celebrate it, and there's a reward. And this is the same for Christ. We will be with Christ. Mm. We will be rewarded as believers at the judgment seat of Christ with rewards for serving him and being faithful to him.
Amen.
That's why it's important that we serve him with everything we have. The times are short.
Absolutely.
And then there's the marriage feast. The marriage feast was a private wedding ceremony. The public marriage feast, and this is this one here, is when we come back and everyone's there that can see it. And this wedding ceremony took place in heaven, but the marriage feast will take place on earth.
Amen.
So once the Father has made all Christ's enemies his footstool, after this, during the 7 year, he will come back with Christ and his church, and there will be a feast, and we will reign with him for the 1,000-year millennial reign.
It's going to be amazing.
So I think it's right there. It's very self-explanatory. We can even see it within the Jewish wedding. Yeah.
It's awesome.
And, you know, we can go on and on, but I really see with this that we don't need to be discouraged as Christians.
Definitely not.
I think when we look at prophecy, when we know what we believe, it's exciting.
And when we can back up what we believe with scripture, like we've talked about today, that makes a huge difference.
Not just because someone told me this or I feel this way.
Because I've studied it.
Yeah, because you study the word of God.
And you can point it out.
And God's promises, God doesn't lie.
No.
But, you know, we see the world falling apart, and but really all things are falling in place.
That's right.
And so prophecy will help us to live more holy, more in expectancy, and will really, really give us the gumption to share our faith in a more proactive manner.
Amen.
And because of this prophecy, because it's so detailed and because it's so powerful, we know that God can take our mess, turn it to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Have a good day. Goodbye.